Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Just gone 8:38 Central African time, at the time of the morning where we join our very own Member of Parliament, Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Imam, who's also the leader of the NFP. Ahmad, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa Alaikum Salaam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, mashallah day in the city of Durban. It's been a bit noisy last night, I think. There was a kind of a march to draw attention, I think, by the EFF late last night. However, the shutdown is expected to continue. The DA bringing an application to interdict that failed to some extent. However, there has been, I wouldn't say failed entirely, because the court have made it very clear that the EFF may not interfere with businesses and closing of roads and that kind of stuff. In fact, I think the issue is that if you want to have a protest march, well, that's democracy, remember, which we've brought in from the West. And so we all have rights, but then that doesn't mean that those that, you know, don't support your protest action or must suffer the consequences. So we all must be protected and are equal before the law. So I think what is important is just that the EFF, they want to protest, they may protest, they can protest, they've been given permission to protest, but it's got to be a peaceful march. Any destruction of property or injuries or assault or violence or crime that takes place must be dealt with the full might of the law. There is no doubt about it. The Minister of Police is in KwaZulu-Natal. He's been in the Phoenix, KwaMashu, and Tuzuma precinct, just ensuring that, you know, police officers are ready and have been given instructions to do whatever they can do within the law. That's a very difficult point, I must be honest with you, Brother Shafiq, because you tell them that they must protect the property, they must protect civilians. At the same time, you tied both their hands at the back. They have to be repeatedly on their nerves, because the IPED comes in immediately if there is any concerns or any allegations leveled against police officers. And that seems to become the norm in South Africa currently, and that's why police officers are very reluctant to act. And that's the problem that we tend to have. Well, the ICC issued a warrant of arrest for Vladimir Putin. I'm not sure to what extent they'll be able to effect that. But remember that Vladimir Putin is expected to visit South Africa on the BRICS summit that is going to be taking place. So we might find ourselves again with Vladimir Putin on the wrong side of the law. But it'll be interesting to see how we're actually going to deal with it. It has been condemned by many worldwide. Yeah, so that's generally the way we are now. Five of them have been arrested in Caterman. What is not clear at the moment, Shepherd, is who and exactly who is this prominent person in Durban that they were attempting to go and assassinate. And I do hope that information comes out pretty soon. But it seems like somebody has been spared their life with timeous action by the police.
Yeah, Ahmad, you know, you bring in two important scenarios. One is ICC very selective in who they prosecute and who they leave, and generally they go for black leaders that were, you know, found guilty of a genocide, but conveniently they leave out people like Netanyahu, George Bush is left out, Barack Obama, and many others, even Bill Clinton and all that have created mayhem and, you know, genocide throughout the world. But here's, you know, Putin being targeted. And also, when you look at the stories that are coming through locally, you know, people say that perhaps the media is adding to the hype of what Julius Malema is doing. Instead of using terms like national shutdown and so forth, they should just call it a protest march. Because when you say shutdown, you feel, Julius feels that power. Oh, yes, look at me. I'm bringing a national shutdown into place. I've got the power. But, we're looking at these different types of scenarios. But how does a man like Julius Malema manage to get the youth, especially, the university students, those from colleges and so forth, thinking on his lines? And there are also some academics that I've spoken to who asked me not to name them, that say, he's got a very valid cause indeed. And if they didn't have anything, they would be joining Julius Malema. What's your response to that, Ahmad?
Well, let me start off by saying one of the reasons why the EFF appeals to the students. Remember, South Africa has a very high unemployment rate among the youth. That's the first thing. And I think we know the common saying that idle youth is a destructive youth. Now, and we know the youth of South Africa currently, to a very large extent, love partying, having fun. And that is why you find that 60% of them drop out in the first year of tertiary institution. So again, the EFF comes in there, providing them with this a conducive environment to be revolutionary, to be partying all weekends, and it creates some kind of hype. And that's what the EFF is doing. Of course, the EFF is also, you can see, being funded extremely well. What the youth of the EFF don't know and wouldn't even attempt to find out, because that's not their focus of attention, will the country be a better place under the EFF? Have they ever gone down to interrogate the policies and things of the EFF? Have they gone down to see the current status of the EFF in terms of how they manage their affairs, how they are able to ensure that their staff, leave alone the people outside, are well taken, because taken care of, because you have to lead by example. They won't do those things. The EFF has been losing a lot of support in the by-elections. I've said this before, from 10%, they've been getting under 1% in all the by-elections. The problem we're sitting with here is currently is the EFF is in and aligned with the ANC of the faction of the ANC that wants Cyril Ramaphosa out. Right. So the things that the EFF do, even in parliament, their conduct of disruptions and verbal diarrhea and attacks and things appeals to the youngsters. But at the same time, nobody's talking about the number of leaders that had joined the EFF and left the EFF and are leaving the EFF repeatedly. In fact, every other day, you are hearing of EFF members, senior members that are leaving. So it's a time, remember that all political parties have a high, and then you start coming down again. And that's what started to happen with the EFF. However, the EFF found an opportune moment, given the fact that there are weaknesses in the country. Now, which of these EFF members are able to stand up to Julius Malema and ask him, but hold on, sir. You, Commander-in-Chief, where would the ANC during all this time when ESCOM was collapsing? You, Julius Malema, had a pivotal role to play in Limpopo. Limpopo that was so badly bankrupt that the next year's budget wasn't enough to pay the previous year's debts. Is anybody asking them? Have anybody in the EFF willing to ask him, tell us about this VBS bank and the credit card and how it followed, and this was the poorest of the poor. I ask you something else. He talks about giving out land. Right now, they are co-governing with some political parties. So why are they not dishing out the land? Because the land is within their control in those local authorities. Why not? So, if you talk about the student financial aid, the person that he got rid of, Jacob Zuma is the one who said, I'm giving free education, even though they realize they cannot afford it. So, it's not Julius Malema that did that. In all the time that Julius Malema was the youth leader in the ANC, what positive have come out of that? Nothing. All these years that they were part and parcel of parliament, what have they been able to achieve? Nothing. So that, the fact that the support base is dwindling and they need to remain relevant This is the conduct. This is how you have to behave. Now, let me tell you, they know about their student accommodation places. They know the scams that have been run, how these student bodies are holding the owners of these apartment blocks to ransom, hostage, demanding. But they know these things. They will do nothing about it. It's because they are appealing to these youth. And, you know, youth, like I said, they're not employed. They're getting paid by government to the student financial aid. Half the time, they're not even going to the tertiary institution. That's why the dropout rate is so high. Okay? So they are idle. And so you come in there with your T-shirts and your posters and your loud music and you take them around. That's what it is about. In politics, if you want to survive, you must be able to sing and dance. So that's the situation we are. Now, I'm not disputing that there are challenges in the country in all spheres of government. All spheres of government. I'm saying a lot has been done. A lot more needs to be done. There are lots and lots of problems in the country. But the question is, if you yourself have been implicated or there are serious allegations of corruption, tax evasion, theft and looting from VBS Bank and the Limpopo province and everything, do you believe you really have the right to be able to go and attack somebody else on the same thing? No, I don't think you have that right. You know, you need to lead by example. These are the things that the youth do not know. And they don't even want to know, or they don't even want to question. All they focus on is what is before them. What is before them? Partying, excitement, getting these T-shirts, driving around, being bussed around, going out there like real heroes, you know, making a noise, looting and corruption. They look for an opportunity to do this thing. I can tell you that in the July unrest, we have seen it was mainly student that were looting. And I've spoken to many of these owners of apartment blocks. They were looting and taking them into their buildings. I've seen them myself. So these are the kind and caliber, and that is why I say we have even lost these youth of today. They cannot be the future of South Africa either. You have to start grooming from basic education level currently, and that's the generation that can take South Africa forward. Your current youth generation will not take South Africa forward, unfortunately. There are a lot of them that can. They are not part of politics. But if you're expecting a change for the positive in South Africa, it's not going to come from the youth of today.
Yeah, Ahmad, then a lot of social media posts where you see Julius Malema, you know, sitting there and say, as some say, he's a refugee from Zimbabwe and so forth. What is the true story behind that? Is Julius Malema, does he have Zimbabwean ancestry, Ahmad?
Yeah, there's lots and lots of information that seems to be unfolding, allegation that he is Zimbabwe. And I'm not sure why the matter has not really been investigated. You know, because we know a lot of foreign nationals in the country have been getting the documentation unlawfully and things. But it's something that needs to be. But again, you know, Julius Malema, from my point of view, has the right to raise concerns when the country is in trouble. There's no doubt we all have that right. But what you cannot do is violate the rights of others in that process. Democracy demands that you must be consistent and apply it to everybody. You cannot be doing it at the expense of somebody. The other issue is this, that you need to respect others in terms of their decisions. If I decide I don't want to be part of the protest, you should allow me to conduct my life normally. You should not stop me from doing that. And if you want to protest, there is avenues. We've allowed that. You can protest. There's nothing wrong with that. But your protest must not be destructive. It must not cause harm to persons who don't want to be part and parcel. You cannot block the road. You can't destroy the infrastructure, the very same infrastructure that you're going to have to build again, which will rob the poorest of the poor of delivery of services because you have to use that money to build that infrastructure again. You know, so let me make it clear, it's not the EFF that brought the so-called free education to the students. No, it was not. Clearly, it was not. So I think they're just capitalizing on the weaknesses of government, and there are a lot of weaknesses, and government needs to deal with it. I agree with you as far as the media is concerned. I'm not sure why the media is giving so much of attention. It shows how destructive mainstream media can also be. That's a major problem that we have. And you are correct. They're calling it a shutdown. Why a shutdown? If you're calling a shutdown, for me, it's terrorism. You have the right to protest, but when you say you're going to shut everything down, means you want to bring the country to a standstill, that is terrorism. But the media will go on talking about shutdown. Now, look at some of the things he's done yesterday. He's made a statement and even criticized Jesus Christ. And he says that that silly little cross of Jesus Christ, and we can't wait for him to come. And let me tell you, his followers were applauding him when he makes that statement. These very same followers are supposed to be belonging to a particular religious faith. They've all lost direction. Can you imagine they're applauding? He calls that a silly cross of his. That is what he says. And these are the very same students who go to a church and pray. So it clearly shows you how easily the youth of today can just be manipulated based on the vulnerable state they find. Now, what they are looking for is they're looking for an opportunity tomorrow to loot. And I am saying to the law enforcement in this country, do whatever you have to do to protect the citizens of this country and protect property. Do whatever you have to do within the law. But you cannot sit back having your hands tied the back and allow the EFF to run riot over innocent people and property that they've worked very hard for.
Ahmed, I'm looking at a message on the screen, and it's from Ibrahim. He says, "Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaat Ahmed Bandur Sheikh Imam. I live in the Durban CBD. Last night there was sporadic marches late in the hours of the midnights. Did the EFF get permission to do that? And why was the Metro so lenient on them if they didn't get permission? Ahmed, what happened there?"
Actually, that's a very, very good point the brother is making. Very, very good point. In fact, exactly the same thing came to mind. And I'm waiting to speak to the provincial commission because you need to get permission to march. And the march last night, as far as I'm concerned, I was not aware that there was going to be a march last night. And I've spoken to the provincial commission, and I spoke to Metro Police yesterday and to various other stakeholders, including the Minister of Police. We were not aware there was going to be any protest march. Now, the question is, why was it allowed if permission was not granted? It's a very, very good point. And this is what, and you're going to expect it. I'm told that they're going to start around midnight tonight. That is what their plans are. But protest march, you must apply weeks in advance, and a minimum of 14 days notice must be given and must be approved by all the role players. Stakeholders. So I will do some investigation on that this morning to just check why and how is it that this protest was allowed to take place. Now, whether it was a protest or they were just walking in a group, although in my observation, it's a protest from what they've done. But if they were just, which is what they will argue, no, because they ended up going onto the beach. And the argument is going to be, no, we walked and went to the beach as a group. We were not protesting. We were just walking, singing, and going to the beach. Now, you can see the weaknesses in the system, in the legal loopholes that exist. They will say, we did not protest. It was not a march. We were all just walking to the beach. And as people saw us going, they joined us. And that's the argument. So there's a very gray area there as far as that is concerned.
I'm sure we have bylaws, and at certain times, you're not allowed to shout in residential areas. But still, you get this big sound, the doof, doof of the taxis coming at 11 midnight. What is the purpose in coming into suburbs that are, relatively peaceful people that work, a Monday to Saturday job, or Monday to Sunday job, and they need to rest, and there are people that are sick there, there's babies sleeping, and you find that these people just come here and make a big... Are they instigating, Ahmed?
I think we are in a state of lawlessness. Even the clubs and the taverns in the CBD are open 24 hours. People are partying, making noise. And you are correct. You know, and that is why sometimes when you speak to people, you know, and they want to refer you to the days of apartheid, and you just have to hold your head in shame when you when people from different countries talk to you about these things, because you know it just clearly indicates where we are going to. So the law enforcement and the bylaws supposed to be applied if you take the CBD, and that is what Metro Police is supposed to be there. The only thing I find the Metro Police doing is going around giving tickets, you know, that's the result. But, you know, and finding them in groups, and they're not applying the law. There is bylaws to deal with noise. There is bylaws, you know, to deal with disruptions that may take place, illegal or unlawful gatherings. Taverns as well. I mean, look at the problem you've got. The liquor board gives you a license to a certain hours. The municipality, the local authority goes and extends it. So you can see the problems that they're all creating. I mean, there's an ideal example. The liquor board said, I'm giving you to 2 o'clock. And the municipality goes and makes it to 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock. So two different people have authority over this. So then they had loggerheads. So these are some of the problems that we have. But I can tell you that it's to live in the CBD, even on the beachfront and things, it's not in the best interest of the people because of particularly the student accommodations that are many, many of these buildings. I'm just told, well, I think even Tropicana Hotel is up for auction and going to be a student accommodation as well. So the student accommodation, because the students are very rowdy, there's no doubt about it. The taverns and clubs are open 24 hours here. You know, that's the other problem that you have, and that is why the levels of crime is so high. And then there's also a very high level of foreign national presence in the CBDs, okay, many of whom are undocumented as well. So that creates another problem. And then the facilities that you have here, you know, are inadequate, whether you talk about the policing, whether you talk about the hospital or clinics in the area, you know, they're inadequate because you don't take all that into consideration. And that is why the Minister of Police once said that when you're putting up, nobody calls the police to give an input when they are putting up a housing complex. But that is added pressure or a mall, so that there must be more police deployed. The police station that they have must be able to cater for that. And they don't look at these things, and that's the problem. But again, you know, if you take like Itegwini municipality, it's in so much of a crisis. I don't know how these leaders in Itegwini can sleep. If you look at what is going on in Itegwini, I mean, there is just nothing improving, absolutely nothing, deteriorating by the hour. That is how bad the situation is. And I can assure you they will be nowhere to be found when we need them. And yet, there are so many different political parties there. I don't hear them raising the issues of what is going on or holding the city to ransom or hostage and demanding, dealing with the issue of security in the area. No, they're not dealing with it. Dealing with the issue of cleanliness, of homelessness on the streets. The city is just, they have two weeks budget left now, just 2 weeks cash, 2 weeks of cash reserves. So soon, maybe they will all wake up when the municipality does not have any money to pay them, their salaries and things. That's when I think they may have to start, they will get up.
That's the time there'll be another protest march. Where's our salary? And you must have everything imploding here, there and everywhere. Amos, we have about a minute to go. And perhaps your parting words this morning.
Well, you know, I know that many of our people are finding ourselves in an unfortunate situation. You would love to go on life on a normal everyday, but you're finding yourself, there's a lot of discomfort around what is going on. You're not sure whether the police will be able to deal with the problems that may arise tomorrow. Some of them don't want to open their businesses. Some of them don't want to go to work. Fortunately, I think the schools are closed and things. But I think I would urge people to rather stay at home if you are not going to work. If you're going to work, yes, indeed. The police, the security agencies have indicated that they have quite a presence on the ground. They are prepared for anything. People should go to work. Businesses should open. But if for any reason that you decide that you're not, then I'd advise you to rather stay at home because it can get very disruptive. But at the same time, we must be careful not to send out a message there that anybody and everybody can come and hold the country hostage. This country belongs to all of us. Again, I want to say, brothers and sisters, it's time to sit back and ask yourselves, where are we? Where were we and where are we going? What can we do? Ask ourselves, what can we do to make South Africa a better place for our generations to come? And I say again, the capacity, the integrity, everything is there. It's outside of politics. It's time that you come and be part of the solution. If not, I can tell you, as minority communities particularly, you're going to have it very difficult in South Africa in the years to come unless we take our rightful place in society and in governance in South Africa.
JazakAllah khair, Ahmed. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.